Previously on X-Men.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 What's up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review podcast, and we are back in action.
Back from hiatus.
Exactly. From our, you know, somewhat self-imposed hiatus. I was doing finals. I've been doing crazy extra hours at work. But forget all that. We're back. We're in the house. I know you guys missed us. We miss you, too. Honestly, we miss putting these out every week, but we should be back on normal schedule. Just in time for, you know, summertime. It's unofficially, I guess, after Memorial Day, so, you know, should be a fun ride this summer.
Beach season. You can listen to us on the beach.
Exactly. There you go. Get a cooler. Get your Frisbee. Mm-hmm. Turn up upon official review show. I say make it happen. Make it happen, absolutely. I wish, you know, the only thing I wish was different was I wish the Flyboys were still in it, but, you know, it is what it is. So, Anyway, it's good to hear your voice, Murdoch. Let's have some fun, sir. So, speaking of Flyers, let's get right to them off the bat. Two rounds and swept in the second round.
Oh, they were in the second round?
Yeah, dude, second round.
Don't remember that. They must have gotten swept. they were barely in the second round.
Yeah,
it was
honestly, they barely got there.
That was my worst case scenario playing Boston because I thought last year they definitely dominated us those first three games. And let's be honest, you're down 3-0 and you win the series. That's a little luck involved there too. So yeah, I certainly didn't want a pissed off Bruins team coming back because I just didn't think it was a good matchup, and they showed why. I mean, they beat us. They should have beat us last year. They swept us this year. They beat us in the regular season. It's a bad matchup for the Flyers.
It's true. And then we went up against back to back. You know, the starting Olympic goalie and the backup Olympic goalie, like, for the USA. You know what I mean? One of those guys has the potential to get hot. You just knew it could happen. And Tim Thomas, they've been riding the whole playoffs.
Yeah, and they're in the finals now. But, So the question is, you know, who's to blame? I honestly, it was tough losing Pronger. They got complacent, yes, but... Mm-hmm. You know, that slide in the regular season coincided perfectly with Pronger's injury. You know, the team we had was incredibly deep forward-wise, incredibly deep defenseman-wise. And even if you think about their goalies, they had three goalies that were all close to each other. They weren't good, but they were all about the same. So
they weren't great. They weren't.
It didn't really like – there was no goalie, oh, if we lose this particular goalie, we're screwed. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It certainly wasn't a forward, but – the one guy you couldn't afford to lose was Chris Pronger, and that's who we lost because you can't replace a guy like that. He's the best defenseman in the league, I think, still at the age of, what, 36?
37, yes, close to that.
He'll certainly be 37 next year if he's not already. But, you know, complacency, you can't just flip that switch. Certainly the Flyers did it last season, but, you know, you can't do that regularly. But honestly, without Pronger, it's a different team. If he never gets hurt, it's a different story potentially. The Bruins probably still would have beat us, but, you know, the seedings might have been different. Might not even have had to play them.
That's true. Had you not gone into the last, you know, month and a half, right? Something like that, the last 6 weeks of the season, they just were like
Like a total tailspin.
Yeah, exactly. It was bad. It was ugly. And, you know, it was not fun hockey to even watch. And then, or they would put together, like, a really, really good game, and then the next game they would look really bad. Or they would play two periods. And in the third period, they were totally just not doing anything at all.
That was kind of their bugaboo this year. They never played a complete game, it didn't seem like. But, I mean, they were just so good early, and they lost Pronger and just sucked so bad after that. So, I kind of think, they played really well to get by Buffalo, because Buffalo, even though they were, what, a 7th seed, I mean, they had, like, the best record in the NHL since the beginning of December. So, they were actually a really, really good team. That was a good win, but Boston was just a bad matchup, and we lost Pronger again, and it was just too much to overcome. So, I think things would have been potentially different maybe this season had we never lost him. So that's my honest – I mean, I'm not trying to be like a Flyers, you know, apologist and make excuses and let him off the hook because I actually think management, if you want to have two things to blame, it's the fact that we haven't had a goalie since friggin' Hextall the first time around. It's been like 25 years since they had a decent goalie. Like, what's the one thing in hockey you need to win? A goalie. What's the one thing we've never had? A goalie. Coincidence that we've never won?
Yeah.
I mean, not never, but, you know, since the 70s, obviously.
Right.
No, not a coincidence, you know?
Yeah.
Clark never cared to get one. So, I mean, it goes back to him. The new general manager, there's a salary cap. So it's not like you can just go out and get one necessarily.
Right.
So, you know, now, did you hear this? The organization of the Flyers for not putting enough emphasis on goaltending.
Yeah.
Because Clark, there was times when he could have gotten good free agents and he went the cheap route. Signing Van Riemsdyk instead of Curtis Joseph in like the summer of 98.
Yep.
Stuff like that has just been the organizational philosophy, I feel like, and it's stupid.
Yeah, they go cheap. They try to get the discount, you know.
They don't do it anywhere else. They spend plenty of money. They just never get a good goalie. My dad actually talked to Bill Clement in the airport one time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "What's up with Clark never getting a good goalie?" And Clement says,
by the way,
what's that?
Is that good for your dad to come out and ask him?
And Clement goes, I think Clark was jealous of the fact that Bernie Parent got so much love for their cup wins, and he thought he should have gotten more love, and the goaltender wasn't that important. So that's what Bill Clement, straight from his mouth, that's what he said. And I just think it's been kind of, like I said, the new general manager, he has his hands tied a bit because we're always up against the cap because we have so many good forwards and defensemen. But whatever they need to do, they need to get a top-flight goalie. And I'm tired of the excuses because – you know, we're never going to win a cup until we get one.
Did you hear last offseason there was a rumor that they were trying to trade or that the deal was Jeff Carter for Tim Thomas? Because remember, Tim Thomas wasn't even a starter last year for Boston. They were looking to unload him.
Right.
And there was a straight-up trade, Jeff Carter for Tim. I don't know if it was straight-up, but it was Jeff Carter and Tim Thomas running the deal. And the Flyers
didn't
pull the trigger.
Maybe draft picks or something else.
Yeah, but they didn't.
I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight they should have done that, but, like, the fact of the matter was he was like a 37-year-old that was a backup on his own team. Is that really?
But he caught lightning in a bottle before. I mean, he's kind of playoff tested.
Right, but how many times have we got guys like that were old and they just weren't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
So I honestly can't check call Mike. Him out for not making that trade. Yeah, or like Van Beesbrook, the trade I just said.
Yep.
He was great, like in Florida with 96, but he couldn't do it with us because he was just too old. He lost the reflexes, the quickness.
Yep.
So I mean, you know. Do you really want to give a guy you have under contract for like 8 years at an affordable price that can score 30, 35 goals easy, like for an old goalie that wasn't even a starter? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
they could have rolled the dice, but I can't kill him for not doing it.
Yeah, you can't kill him for that.
So,
this is true.
If Thomas was as good last year as he was this year, sure.
Sure, right.
Should have done it. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a different story, so.
Right.
But they better do something this year. That's all I gotta say. They better do something this year.
Yeah, totally.
I'm
agree.
Tired of
totally
watching agree. Them with friggin' minor league goalies. Couldn't cut it on a peewee squad. Goals these guys let in are just pathetic. It's ridiculous.
Right.
So deflating let in these kind of goals.
So if you had to trade one of the young stars in the Flyers, if you had to let go one, who would you?
Carter.
Carter. Yeah.
Probably Carter.
Mm-hmm.
We have a ton of centers. I definitely wouldn't trade Giroux. JVR, he's so young. We haven't even seen. You don't want to give up on a guy like that and then have him be a total.
He's just started turning it around too.
Carter, has he ever been great in the playoffs yet? Like,
no.
He's pretty consistent in regular season, but I haven't seen him turn it on in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
well, he was hurt.
Richards, I kind of like the intangibles he brings more than Carter, so I'd keep Richards over Carter.
Right.
Obviously, you don't really want to get rid of any of them, but if you have to, I'd say Carter.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel that. I wonder what everybody else thinks. So if you guys have any thoughts on that, listen to the podcast, shoot a tweet at us, or call the podcast sometime. So quick pick, sir. Who do you got winning the NHL Finals? You going Lightning? You going the letter C's or the Canucks?
No, the Bruins or the Canucks.
I'm sorry. The Bruins and the Canucks.
Canucks. They've been the best team all year long. Mm-hmm. That was the one team, you know, I thought if the Flyers could turn it around, I didn't know that they could beat Vancouver anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
They've actually had a tougher road than I thought. I mean, you know, Game 7 against Chicago, and I think Detroit took them to 7 also.
Mm-hmm. They did, after they were up 3-1.
I think they were up 3-0 on Detroit, and Detroit took them.
That's right.
Chicago and Detroit came back 3-0 to force a Game 7 this year, but both lost to Vancouver. Unless Detroit did that to San Jose. No, Detroit did that against San Jose.
Never mind. It was against the Sharks.
But they're the best team. They're awesome. I think they're going to win. I think they're actually going to win easily. I think it's going to be like a 5-game series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And you never know. Thomas, you know, goalies can steal wins and series by themselves. True. But Luongo is awesome too, though. So
he is. You know what? That's funny. Yeah, it's the starting Canadian goalie against the backup American goalie.
Coincidence?
Yeah. Huh.
Don't think so.
Don't think so. Luongo is awesome. I think you can kind of get in his head though, because he's had games where he's let up. You know.
Yeah, I mean he's less of a veteran than Thomas, but I'll tell you what. That would end if he wins the cup here. He'd be a lot more self-assured and everything
absolutely.
Like that.
So. That's true. All right, sir.
But I like their team, so I definitely think Vancouver.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna say.
And when's the last time a Canadian team won?
I know. They'll actually they'll be super excited.
I think it was 1993. So you know Canada will get all crazy.
Montreal 93 with Patrick Roy.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, I'm trying to think when the last. I don't see when the Canadian team won. Did Calgary win a couple years ago, or did they just make it to the finals and then lose again?
Yeah, they
seven?
Were definitely in the finals.
Or in the finals. I don't think they won. So okay. I think it's Montreal in 93 is the last team.
Mm-hmm.
Desjardins, 2 overtime goals in that series finals.
Right. it'll be cool. Canada will be happy about that. You see, they're moving a franchise back to Winnipeg too.
Yeah, good for them. It's a Canadian sport. They You know, I talk to Canadians sometimes, and they like to talk smack about the Olympic thing. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, play us in football. See if you make it to overtime. Exactly. You know, this is your sport. You're proud about barely beating us in your own sport.
Yeah,
like,
come on,
play us in baseball or football. Let's see what happens. See if you make the overtime or extra innings. Don't think so, you know.
Real.
But, you know, let them have their fun. That's cool. They're good at hockey, no doubt.
Exactly. All right, yeah, they also have milk in a bag. What else do they have in Canada?
A couple decent beers.
Yeah, a couple decent beers.
Not great beers, so though.
There's that period. Circle
Labatt's
Bacon.
Right. Olsen, they're okay.
Yeah. Labatt's, yeah, good call. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll see what's making Murdoch mad, and then we'll talk some fightings. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Let's make it happen. Pond Official Review.
It's Burning Philly Sports.
Stay tuned.
What do tigers dream of when they take a little tiger snooze? Do they dream of mauling zebras or Halle Berry in her Catwoman suit? Don't you worry, your pretty striped head. We're gonna get you back to Tyson and your cozy tiger bed. And then we're gonna find our best friend Doug. And then we're gonna give him a best friend hug. Doug. But if he's been murdered by crystal meth tweakers, well then we're out of luck.
All right, gang, welcome back to the Pontificer Review podcast. You know, kicking butt and chewing bubble gum.
Taking names.
Chewing bubble gum. We're all
I don't know why taking names, but we are.
We are.
We're taking your name. There's nothing you can do about it. We're keeping it. Damn it.
Yep. You should RSVP.
You're not getting it back,
exactly.
Jerk.
So, it is time, sir. Oh, I also was reminded that Canada has free health care.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Free health care, eh?
No, no one gets hurt there, so I don't really see.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they get hurt playing hockey.
So. Yes.
Sometimes. All right, sir, do, let's find out. This week, we got to know what is making Murdoch mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
What is on your mind this week? Tell us, tell the world, what is making Murdoch mad this week?
This week, I am making myself mad.
You're making yourself mad?
Yes. People who always jump to conclusions before they have had a chance to really... You know, it's just Philadelphia fans. We always, like, bury somebody in, like, a week or one bad game. Like, they're dead. Like, I earlier on these airwaves said that Raul Banez was the worst player in baseball. And he is really making me eat it because he has been on a total complete tear, unlike you know, never before seen since the beginning of 2009.
He heard the podcast.
Fuck yours, that's like 80 seasons ago. I mean, seriously. So, can't really blame me too much, but you can, because I should have waited and given him one more chance to see what he could do. He just had a bad month. He wasn't healthy last year. Either that or he's back on steroids, which...
Yeah, you know, I'm cool with that, too.
If he is, no problem, yeah. Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? So, whatever works, keep doing it, you know?
Yep.
So, I definitely jumped the gun in burying Raul, was referring to him as the corpse of... the rotting corpse of Raul Amandez for, like, a year now, and he apparently is either... was never dead, or now he's a zombie. Either way, he's tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, what, do you have, like, 9 dingers now?
Like, 8 or something like that, but he's batting, like, 340 for the month, and he's just carrying us... And it's huge because now the Phillies unbelievably have like this ridiculously good record, best in baseball, 14 games over 500, 34-20, with no offense at all, really. And now that Utley's back, you know, once Victorino's back, then, you know, now that Brown's up, now that Francisco, who's the true rotting corpse in the lineup, because he's Ibanez without a hot streak.
Right.
And, you know, now you've got Mayberry, who can play a little bit, can run some bases, can throw, Brown, who can do all those things, and you can do them left, right, and you've got a pretty good lineup every single day with Victorino, Raul, and a Mayberry-Brown platoon. That still gives Brown the most at-bats. You need him to get at-bats because there's many more. There's, you know, 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 starters in baseball are righties, so Brown's going to get the bulk of the at-bats, which is good because Mayberry's 28. He doesn't need as many at-bats, but you can still get him in two games a week and pinch hit and things like that.
And he's looked good.
He looked real good. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I like him a lot better than Francisco, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
So, yeah, so I'm making myself mad. I jumped the gun on Ibanez, and I should have given him more chance than I, you know. And
it wasn't just you. It's us as Philadelphia.
We jumped the gun too much, so we should learn from this, which we won't do. And next time something like this happens, we shouldn't, like, bust out the pitchforks and torches quite so soon, but we will anyway. But
we probably should. We'll burn them at the stake.
We'll do it anyway. We shouldn't.
We shouldn't. But you know what? It wasn't just you, dude.
You know what? I got to call it out on myself. I called him the worst player in baseball and a rotting corpse, and he's done really well. So
there you go.
I'm a fair guy. I was wrong. I admit it.
That is a classy move.
It'll never happen again.
That's a humble, classy move, sir. Not much seen in today's society.
That's what I'm known for. you know, it's hard to be humble when you're constantly winning.
That's true. It is.
So
I can't relate. But you're right, though, dudes. Like, his bat speed just looked non-existent. No, he looked like he was swinging.
He was blown away by 88-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle. Uh-huh. It was like, jeez.
Yeah, it was like ugly watching him bat. It was really ugly.
Confidence goes a long way, so.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he found whatever, like, you know, Jamie Moyer's, you know, youth drink, you know, whatever's in there. Or maybe he's just back on steroids, which is cool with me. So
totally fine with that, if that's the case.
Yep. So, some more Phil's talk. Utley's back.
Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. You miss seeing that swing. He's got that pretty compact swing. That just yanks the ball out of the park. you know, it's in the, you know, the offense is producing a little bit more. They had that crazy 19 inning game the other night. Did you watch that?
Hell yeah, that was awesome.
I went to bed when Herndon came in the game because I was like, oh, this game's over. Because Herndon has been consistently pooing the bed, so I did not want to watch us lose in 19 innings at 2 o'clock.
Amount of stains on his bed.
Yeah.
He switched to the other side, but it's just as bad now.
Precisely. I did not want to watch Herndon pitch. So, and then he actually, he threw like three innings or two innings. And then Baez
threw 447 innings. I'm pretty sure that's an actual number. I'm pretty sure that's an actual stat.
Seriously,
he just kept throwing until his arm fell off, and it never did.
Yeah, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. When I woke up the next morning and saw the Bucks score, I was like, Baez was in the game for how long? And we won?
Like 5-6 innings. It was crazy.
It was nuts.
You kept thinking, if they don't score here, Baez, he's toast. He's due to give up like 5 runs next inning.
Exactly. To like, you know, Baez doesn't need to be even pitching to good hitters, and he'll give up homers. He pitches.
Baez had to go through the order like twice. I mean, they saw him twice. Like,
exactly. You saw him twice and you can't hit this guy? Yeah, nuts.
Yeah. So. No, yeah, and then Valdez comes in against only the MVP of the league and the leading home run hitter in the National League and gets them both out. Like, unbelievable.
Exactly.
He's throwing 89.
Through 89 miles an hour, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, holy cow, when I saw that, I was expecting 80.
Yeah.
Dude is throwing heat up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And he got it, dude.
It was awesome. Done. It was great.
And he hit Scott Rolen, which is even a little plus. But, like, still... He gets everybody out, hits Scott Rolen, and then, I mean, totally won the game. Had a couple RBIs, too. I mean, he was awesome.
That gives you cult status, honestly. It does.
Oh, definitely. He has reached, like, not Matt Stairs' cult status, because that was a big part in us winning the World Series.
Yeah.
But, he shouldn't have to pay for beers in Philly after that.
Matt Stairs will always be loved. Oddly enough, you know who would be more loved if he didn't talk so much? Is Freddie Mitchell. Because he had a couple of legendary grabs, but he was just a jerk.
he was a giant douche.
Yeah, he really was. He was just a douchebag.
But he ruined his own cult status.
He did. He ruined his own cult status.
Banking his hands, which is pretty hilarious, actually. Yeah. If he only had said that.
Exactly. You know, if he only had said that, yeah.
And shut up about everything else, about how great he was and got blackballed from the league. He sucked.
He was not good. Come on, dude. Really? For the 16th or the 13th pick in draft, whatever you were, you were not that good. No. But. He docked a big game. If he hadn't, you're right. He would have had way more cult status.
That's a good call.
Sweeney's got a little bit of cult status. People love Mike Sweeney.
Yeah.
It's
because he's like such a friendly bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, he just hugged everybody after the game.
Yeah.
Be there.
Yep.
We should do a list at some point of all the other cult status players. I'm sure there's some other good ones. Guys that just like weren't, you know, great.
They shouldn't have been necessarily, but
exactly.
They were. Like we could call it like the Matt Stairs All-Stars.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, we'll have to come back and do that sometime. So, Ali's back. Victor Mina will be back soon. What would you say beyond all that? Do you have any concerns for the rest of the season, or you think this team's going to be good barring any other kind of major injuries?
Injuries is my concern, yeah. I mean, you see the lift Utley gave the offense. Just it, you know what it is, even if he's not doing that well, everyone else was squeezing their sticks a little too tight, and now they're like, okay, well, we don't have to do as much because we're getting some players back. We actually have a major league lineup instead of a AAA lineup, and that makes a big difference.
Right.
Taking that pressure off Ryan Howard and Polanco and Rollins. Yeah, I think the only thing that really – I mean, the fact that we have this kind of record with this kind of health already, like if we stay healthy, I mean, geez, we're going to win 80% of our games the rest this season.
Yeah, it's true.
So I mean Cliff Lee hasn't even been Cliff Lee yet, and he still has a pretty good ERA and everything like that,
and he's like second league in strikeouts too, right? Or second or third.
Yeah, up there. Yeah. And he's a playoff, you know, as long as he does it in the playoffs. Somebody was complaining, oh, Cliff Lee, it's like, well, Cliff Lee is Danny Briere. He's good in the regular season and great in the playoffs.
He's awesome.
Isn't that what you'd rather the guy be?
Absolutely.
Don't complain
man.
That he's not great in the regular season. Complain if he's not great in the playoffs, because he has proven that he's a total stud in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you can't. That, Cliff Lee has never, except for one season, he won the Cy Young. He's never been the playoff Cliff Lee in the regular season.
No.
Even the first time around with us, he had like a 3-4 ERA. He started out like a 1.0. Not like a 0.7 in the first three games.
Yeah,
then
he got banged around a couple
runs
times
here and there. Yeah, I mean that's what he is. Because you know why? It's because his fastball is only 91-92. So if he misses his spots, it's straight. Also,
yep.
So if he doesn't hit the corners, they're gonna hit him hard.
Right.
So whenever he doesn't have his location, he's not gonna be great. And like Halladay, that thing moves so much. Even when he's going in the middle, they don't even see it coming because it moves from way off the plate to in the middle. So it's a different story. You're not gonna get Roy Halladay is a better pitcher than Cliff Lee.
Right. Yeah.
We knew that. We always knew that. I mean, we wanted Halladay instead of Lee the first time around.
Exactly.
Cliff Lee's a stud, but he's a stud in the playoffs, and he'll do that this year again in the playoffs. And that's what we need him to do.
Exactly. Exactly, so. Yep. Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing these guys in the playoffs. They're going to be scary.
Health is the only thing that worries me at all. If we're fully healthy going into the playoffs, I don't see how we're going to lose. So
right now, who's the fifth starter since they just sent Worley down?
Right now, who's the fifth starter? Blanton, I guess, is still on the DL, so I guess it would be Kendrick.
Is it Kendrick?
It would have to be, because it would either be Kendrick unless Blanton's coming back. Maybe by the time the next start comes around, which would be, I guess, Friday, because yesterday was Worley's start. Maybe by then, Blanton will be eligible to come off the DL, so maybe they're planning Blanton, or it's got to be Blanton or Kendrick. There's nobody else, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on that.
Interesting, yeah. Before Worley got shelled the other day. He was looking really good. I was really impressed with him. It's nice to have a little bit of up and coming young, kind of guys on the team.
Yeah, and you never know. Maybe he can get us something at the trade deadline. Maybe he showed enough for a team to take. You know, because Hap got us Oswalt. Who would have ever thought that?
That's true. That is true.
Why I sent him back down too, so he wouldn't get hit hard again by major leaguers. So
Kind of protect him. I see.
Front offices can be sneaky like that sometimes.
That's true.
They're like, you know what? The league's figured this kid out. He's really not as good as he's showing. Let's put him back down where he can get minor leaguers out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows? Like, I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but if that's what they are doing and it works, it's a genius move.
Mm. Yeah. The last thing on the Phillies notes, Madsen has been a fantastic surprise. And not a surprise because you knew what the kind of stuff he had, but – in that closer role, he's just looked fantastic. In the beginning of the season, I wasn't as confident that he could really nail down that closer role, and it looks like he's done it. He's 11 for 11. He got hit a couple times in that non-save opportunity the other night, but he's been really good.
You know, you can't.
And actually, that first out in that non-save opportunity was an error anyway.
Right. My thinking is one of the best things that could have happened to us that Contreras got hurt because we did not have – what was our plan? Starting the season, I mean, I thought starting the season, Contreras gave us the best chance to win games as a closer. Right. But I still thought Madsen should have been the closer because we needed to find out, should we sign him as a closer? Because somebody would sign him as a closer after this year.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know if we could do it. Now we know we can. Because the thing is, he was trying too hard last year, and he admitted that. I saw an interview with him in the offseason where he said, you know, I was just gripping the ball a little too tight. I was trying too hard. You know, I had a lot of time on the DL after he kicked that chair in San Fran. But it was toe or whatever.
Took his toe, yeah.
Think about what I did wrong, and I'm going in this with a different. I'm just going to play my game, and I said, well, that's exactly what he needs to do. If he just pitches the way he does in the eighth, he's going to be one of the top three closers in baseball.
Yep.
And wow, he really has done that. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, Lidge has no shot to come back in as a closer, and he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Contreras, Bastardo's been awesome.
He has been
right
fantastic.
Now, I'm not going to count on anything from Lidge, but with these pitchers, you need three guys. You've got Bastardo, Contreras, and Madsen. And the best part is Bastardo is a crazy shutdown lefty. You've got Bastardo and Contreras can go in the seventh or eighth. Either one, depending on where the lefties fall in the lineup, gives Manuel those options. And Contreras has a 0 ERA right now.
Seriously?
The year, yeah. He hasn't given up a run all season.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. He's been awesome all season long. It's because he got hurt so early. So he's just – but, he 7-8 appearances, hasn't allowed a run. He's been great. It's nice to have that. And Bastardo, last I saw, it was he had the highest percentage of swinging strikes.
I did see that stat. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I saw that a couple weeks ago. I don't know if he still does.
Maybe he still does,
means, you know, it's hard to get major league hitters to swing and miss.
Swing and miss, yeah.
I mean, you got to have nasty stuff to be able to do that. And to have the most 20% of your pitches are swinging strikes, that's insane. So he's just been awesome. And the fact that we now have those three guys, you know what I mean? Most of the time, we don't even need three innings, but sometimes they'll only give us six. And if you can get 7-8, because before when Contreras was out, you know, Bastardo we had, but boy, we didn't have anybody for that seventh inning. And it was just a nightmare every time.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Herndon or Romero.
Yeah, Herndon or Romero.
You know
exactly.
What? Romero needs to go.
He can't find a strike zone at all.
It's just like a free, why not just keep the other guy, whoever's pitching in, and intentionally walk the lefty. And then you have your righty. You haven't used an extra pitcher because Romero is just an intentional walk. That's all he is, except three of them if you leave him in more than one batter. It's just ridiculous. And he has no clues. Like, oh, it was just one start or one game where I walked three guys. Like, no, it's been ever since 08 you've sucked and you've not been able to get anybody out. It's ridiculous. I mean, he can point to his fact that lefties don't have like that high of a batting average against them, which is not that great. But the on-base percentage is like .390, which is better than anyone on our team.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. I guess lefties. That's who you're supposed to be getting out.
Yep.
Getting on base 39% of the time. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So he needs to go. He needs to be the next one down in that bullpen. I mean, I think Charlie's to a point where he doesn't trust him at all. I'd rather see Herndon. I'd rather see Kendrick. There's nobody I would least rather see than him. He's the last option to me. So the sooner we get rid of him, the better.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's expired. I think the
and the fact that Bastardo stepped up, you really don't need him.
Yeah, that's true.
All.
Yeah, with Bastardo pitching the way he is exactly.
You don't need him. And he's only 1 year contract, $1.5 million. Thank God, only 1 year. You'll never see him again here.
Yeah,
so
most likely
you might never see him in the major leagues again.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, good guy, but yeah, it's the time for
whatever.
I remember what he did in 08. He was good that year.
So. Yeah, in 07 too. He was awesome in 07. Yeah, that's right. 07. Really, that was his best year. But 08, he was good also. But after that, it was just brutal.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back to the legal procedure through the week and do some crossfire. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Let's make it happen. This is the Upon Official Review Show.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. Stick around.
Stay tuned.
Ask me if I need glasses, and you tell me I'm blind as a bat. You say that I'm ugly and stupid, and you cordially say that I'm fat. Now your pitcher just walked that one batter, that's his fourth or his fifth of the game. Now you're yelling at me, and you're spitting at me, and you're asking if I am insane. No, but I'm the umpire, what I say goes. There's a play at the plate, well, he's out by a nose. You can try as you might to argue my call, but it's my world when I say play ball. You know what?
All right, gang. Welcome back to the Upon Official Review Podcast. You know how we do it around here. So, again, it is time for a wonderful segment that we produce every week. And so this week, it is time for the illegal procedure of the week. Let's do
it. They called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Been so wrong. All right, sir. So this week, my legal procedure of the week, for those who don't know, Jim Tressel just resigned from Ohio State. My legal procedure, though, is not on him. My legal procedure is on college athletics, college football in this particular case. This whole situation started, for those who don't know, Ohio State players sold their memorabilia and sold the different items they had from the Ohio State program, rings and pictures and autographs. It came out because they sold a particular ones for tattoos to a particular tattoo artist in town, and they sold him this memorabilia, and he resold it in his store, for all kinds of money. But they did it just so they could afford tattoos. And then other players came out and they said, yeah, I sold my Ohio State stuff all the time because I just needed to pay rent. I needed to pay my car note, et cetera, et cetera. And Jim Tressel knew about it, and he didn't say anything about it. And so the NCAA slapped a huge violation on him and a bunch of players, and they were going to be suspended. And then he came out today and just resigned because he didn't want to have to deal with all the repercussions. Now,
I think they probably kind of forced him to resign, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, though, I feel like this might even go deeper, like the rabbit hole is deeper, kind of like with USC, mm-hmm. how they got those huge suspensions, like after, and it started with Reggie Bush. There could be some more major stuff going on, some more major NCAA violations, contacting players or whatever. But the bottom line here, my main issue is with the NCAA almost forcing these players to have to work illegally to pay
their own bills.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. They don't let them have an income. Like, you can't work mm-hmm. at all. Like, they can't work a job at a 7-Eleven for $8 an hour. Like what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when they have stuff, people will pay them millions, but you're saying you can't have an income, you can't take the millions. Like, what do you expect? Like, seriously, but they'll take the they'll make millions off of the players.
Right.
They have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. They need these players should be getting paid, not millions.
Yeah.
But they should be getting, the good players. I don't see why they can't all make, around 50,000.
Yeah.
Up to 100,000.
Exactly. Even a regular working person.
That's enough to live on and live, decent living.
Live in a
single
dorm.
Guys.
Exactly.
And then it's not like they're having to feed a family. There's no reason why they can't get 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
There's plenty of money to go around.
There absolutely is. For the money that they're bringing into the schools.
Yeah.
Those schools are making millions of dollars off them. Those coaches make
tens
millions.
Tens of millions.
Ticket
the big
sales,
programs.
The jersey sales. the items that these, all the memorabilia, all the collectors, everything, all that, you know, school related stuff. They're making they're making video games
at these dudes stadium
that don't have their names on it, but they're clearly that it's that player. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That school is getting paid a licensing fee from EA Sports when they make NCAA football 2011. They make money off of these guys hand over fist. You can't give them any kind of legal stipend so they don't have to go behind their back and sell stuff. It's ridiculous. Like, even if – plus, even if they had time to – even if they were allowed to work a regular job, that money that they work at that job isn't going to be enough. You know, these kids are practicing all the time. My cousin plays Division I NCAA football, and he is in practice, you know, so many hours a week. I don't know. I think the
league. Talking about practice?
Exactly. We talk about practice. Like 40 hours.
That's game. That's the game.
Exactly. That's the game. Allen Iverson would never be involved in college football. Too much practice.
Sounds awful.
But it is. It's ridiculous. NCAA.
Yeah.
You guys.
It's a joke.
Fix it. Fix it. Give us some playoffs and figure out some way to
cut. Playoffs.
Playoffs. Talk about playoffs.
Don't talk about playoffs.
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 So that's my joke.
I also say, Jim Tressel, why on earth your middle name is not Van? I'll never know. It should be. Your name should be Jim Van Tressel. Wouldn't tell me that wouldn't like be more fitting to him. With his ridiculous sweater vest, it should be Jim Van Tressel.
Agreed.
I don't see why it isn't.
Maybe he'll just open a sweater vest store.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't Jim Van Tressel be a better name and more suiting to him? Wouldn't you think, if you knew his first name was Jim and his last name was Tressel, wouldn't you think it was Van? Or I don't know if that's part of the last name or whatever it is, or the middle name, but it should be Jim Van Tressel. That's the way I think about him. Mm. That's what he should be.
Accurate.
Damn.
Accurate. Yep. I heard. Do you think he'll get hired again? I heard that another school is not gonna.
Hell yeah, he's gonna get hired.
Yeah, I think he will too. I don't know if he'll get hired immediately, but a couple years down the
road, he'll get hired. He might take a year off. He's not like the whole thing. They made him resign, so they don't have to pay him now.
Right.
Because they fired him, they would have had to pay him. Mm-hmm. But he will get a job, a big program, whenever he wants it. So maybe he'll take a year off. Maybe he won't, but he'll be fine. I'm not shedding any tears for him.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, well, that being said, let's get into the tweet of the week. La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. All right, so this week, the tweet of the week goes to this user at Joe Bodelai. JoeBodolai. Joe says, I thought this was great. I actually saw it. It was retweeted by one of our followers, TureX, TOUREX. He says, Lakers fans insist Lakers are way better than Celtics at watching playoffs.
Nice.
Lakers fans are such front runners, man. They're like Cowboys fans.
They are Cowboys fans.
They are. Probably. You're right. They're the same people. Fans. They're also Yankees.
They are all the same people. They like the Cowboys, Lakers, and Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. We don't like you.
Often the Red Wings, if they fall ship at all.
To Iraq or New Jersey. Either one.
That's true.
Round them up. Ship them off.
See you guys later.
Or
hopefully not later. Exactly. Exactly.
Hopefully.
All right. Let's get into Crossfire, man. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about in Crossfire this week. So let's fire this up, Zach.
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you get caught up in the Crossfire. Crossfire, Crossfire, Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
Yep. All right, sir. It's time for Crossfire. My first question to you, we've had a lot of surprises this season in the NBA. We got the Heat and the Mavericks in the finals, but there's been a bunch of surprises. So what would you say is the number one biggest surprise of the playoffs that you got? 30 seconds on the clock. Go.
I kind of torn two different ways. Like, I feel like the two biggest surprises shouldn't be a surprise, but they sort of were. Like, the Heat playing so well. They didn't play that great in the regular season, but we probably should have seen this coming. But the biggest surprise is probably Dallas. I mean, kind of everyone sort of forgot about Dirk, how awesome he is.
Yeah.
But he's just awesome. You can't guard him. He's a 7-footer that hits these you know, threes or drives. I mean, how, you can't block a shot so high arcing. It's beautiful. They say Ray Allen has the nicest looking jump shot, but Dirk to me.
Yep, yep. To so just piggyback on that, piggyback on the Mavs, man. They, I would probably agree with that. Just the fact that they swept the Lakers, no, I didn't see that coming at all.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. And then, you know, they put Kobe to rest and Phil's career and just, yeah. Real big shock to me.
Yeah, they were the only team that could beat Phil Jackson during a three-peat.
Yep, it's true.
He had three three-peats and then a back-to-back, and he lost the third time for the first time ever.
Yep.
He was undefeated in the six seasons after a title other than that time. That was the one out of the six seasons they lost.
Good for them. Good for them. I'm sorry to see
after a first title. They won the second one and the third one. Two different times, and then the second one, the third time, but couldn't get the third one. So,
Yeah, I think the Boston Heat series might have been a little bit different had Rondo not gotten hurt. But watching the Celtics get swept was just like, I mean,
yeah, I think the Celtics were just too old. Heat is too old, too young, and too good. They would have won anyway. I think.
Yeah,
might have gone longer though. You're
might've
right.
Might have gone longer.
I don't think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I guess just a quick hit of what do you think about the NBA Finals matchup? Should be, I think it's going to be a good one. Heat versus
really good one, yeah.
Mavs.
Unfortunately, I got to go with the Heat. I think they're going to. I think it's going to be six games. I would like to see seven. The Heat are just good, man. It seems like they're hitting me in stride at the right time. I don't have the funny thing. I don't even really have confidence in Eric Spoelstra as a coach for the Heat. Like. Yeah. I really feel like it just goes out there and goes, all right, guys, well, let's play really hard. And, you know, let's try to score more than they do. All right, let's go.
Like, yep.
I don't have any. Right. They're so good. They're so athletic. They're tough, man. And they're clutched lately. So there you go.
Yep. All right. Well, I think, man, it's just I'm torn about this. Yeah, I kind of think the Heat. But, you know, I could see Dallas winning, too. I'm going to pick Dallas because their bench is awesome. And it's like Dirk is just as unguardable as LeBron James. And you know what? If you guard Dirk, there's seven other guys on that team that'll absolutely kill you with threes. And I just, you know, I think that's going to win. That depth is going to win out.
Yeah.
And right. You know what? I kind of – if Miami wins the title this year, who's going to beat them in the next 5 years? You know what I mean? Like the confidence they'll gain from this. So if anyone else in the league other than Miami wants a title anytime soon, they better be praying for Dallas to win.
Yep. That's true. That's a good call. That is a really good call. You're right. They're going to get a lot of confidence.
Probably a silly pick. Miami's probably going to win. But you know what? I could see it.
The benches could make a big difference. I think you're right, though.
Dallas has all those three-point shooters. That's the thing. When you guard Dirk, there's so many guys that will kill you.
Miami is very – well, Miami has
Dirk. Mike has this thing where he doesn't miss shots ever.
And Udonis has.
Likes to never miss shots. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I was surprised they dispatched with Oklahoma City so quick, honestly, in five games. I thought Oklahoma City would at least take up to six.
But that was awesome.
Yeah, it's true. All right, sir. Next question here. Got two teams in the NL East that are playing pretty decent. You know, I think they should be nipping at the heels of the Phillies for the majority of the, you know, of the year, the baseball season. So who scares you more? The Marlins or the Braves? If one of them was going to get in the playoffs, who would scare you more? 30 seconds.
Who would scare me more as far as who wins the division or who would I at least want to play in the playoffs?
I think we both agree that we're going to win a division. But if you had to not...
So who would I least... Playoffs, who would I want to avoid in the playoffs more?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Definitely, I would rather play the Marlins in the playoffs because they have, you know, obviously a stud in Josh Johnson. But after that, we would have a crazy edge in the next three. And we'd have an edge, you know, Halladay against anybody. I always think he has the edge. But the next pitchers, we'd have an edge against, a sizable edge, where the Braves have really good pitchers. We'd have a very slight starting pitching edge in every game. A decent edge overall, but not a huge edge in any one game because Tim Hudson's great. Jair Jurgens has a 1.5 ERA this year. I mean, they have really good pitchers. So Hanson's been really good ever since he broke into the league. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather play the Marlins than the Braves.
Gotcha. I'm with you on that.
All right. For those of you that don't know, Buster Posey, the catcher for the world champion, Giants, broke everything. every bone in his body when he was blocking the plate for a play at the plate when somebody crashed into him not too long ago. He's out for the year. You know, just won the Rookie of the Year. Great young player. Should catchers be, you know, is this okay? Being able to, you know, should players be able to run into catchers? Should this kind of contact be part of the game, or should they look at it? Because do we really want our young stars being injured like this? What do you say?
Well, I think that the play at the plate is, I think it's kind of iffy. You know, at first I was going to say, like, you absolutely have to keep that, you know, because it's part of baseball. It's part of baseball history, like blocking the plate. But the chances of that happening when you actually hit somebody and they drop the ball is pretty rare. You know what I mean? Where you just bowl somebody over and they drop the ball? How often does that happen?
So it happens, though.
It does happen. But, you know, the chance of the injury might be...
So you're saying they should get rid of that. They shouldn't let people crash into catchers.
No, I say I think you got to keep it, but it's something to consider. It's something I would
all
think
right.
about.
Well, I'm booing you for not being a man about this right off the get. It is absolutely part of the game. It's the sport that has the least contact. All the other sports have much more contact, risk of injury. Mm-hmm. You tell it to a football player they should get rid of catchers blocking the plate. Like, they have to do that every single play, and they're getting paid millions. Right. You know what? You don't like it? Don't be a catcher. You know, it's right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, this guy's going to get $75 million for his career, so he got a bone broken. He lost the season. Big whoop. That is the game. That's what I say. If it was, you know, if you don't want to do it for, like, don't let, you know, the babe, you know, the kids do it, fine. No problem.
Right,
I'm sure they're not allowed to do it anyway.
Yeah,
but
that's the other side of the argument, too, is if you take away that, do you take away the... When you slide intentionally into somebody at second, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can't
exactly.
take that
I mean,
away.
There's a little bit of contact. They're getting paid enough to deal with the risks. Too bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's a brutal play, but you know what? You know, football, you know, hockey, you know, those guys would laugh if they heard that. That's all. You know what I mean? So they're getting paid enough to deal with a little bit of. And you know what? That's the catcher. You know, if you're going to be a catcher, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. Yep. If you're San Francisco, move Buster Posey to a different position.
Yeah, exactly. Move him to third.
You know what I mean? He could be a really good other different kind of player, you know?
True.
It's nice to have that strength up the middle, but you know what? Mm-hmm. If it's not worth it, it's not worth it. So.
That's true. All right, sir.
All right.
Question number five. This one is a very tough question. It took me quite a while to come up with this one. So we'll see what your answer is. Is Dirk Nowitzki, is he the greatest GOAT of all time to play in the NBA?
Yes, Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest GOAT to ever play in any sport ever. He is the greatest GOAT that has ever lived, in fact.
Wow, he's the MVG of every sport?
Yes, the most valuable GOAT of all time in any sport, in any part of life. There's never been a more valuable GOAT than Dirk. How can you not root for a seven-footer?
Never in the history of the world.
Never misses three-pointers or free throws. How can you not root for that? Anyone that roots for Miami to win is insane. The seven-foot German GOAT plays for the other team. How can you root against that?
You have to root for the GOAT. Also, I think it's awesome that he plays with Kidd. As a kid and a GOAT on the same team.
It's awesome. They've got like a flock breeding over there.
Exactly, exactly.
Goat farm. Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Goat Herders. That's what they should be.
Just send that memo to Mark Cuban for real.
Do it. Do it. Seriously. Do it.
Let's
do
make it happen. Let's make it happen.
That was an awesome question. That was clearly the finest crossfire question that has ever been asked in the history of the world.
Well, you know, it had to be worthy of the MVG.
Yes, dude. Most valuable goat of all time. It's not even close. There's no close second goat. Never has been.
Awesome.
All right, so number six, last but not least, are you okay with Plaxico Burress or Albert Haynesworth or both coming to the Eagles this year?
I'm more okay with Haynesworth than Plaxico. Here's why. Haynesworth, huge body. We've just been just so undersized on the defensive line. He brings, you know, some nastiness. Also, he's a head case, but he brings some nastiness, and, you know, he's been an all-pro. So is Plaxico, but here's the thing. With Plaxico, we already know with Vic, you can't just throw somebody in directly out of prison and expect them to produce. Right. You can't. And to me, this year is the year they got to load up. So I'm not going to wait for Plaxico for one or two seasons to get back in game-playing shape. because he's not going to be ready to immediately contribute. Whereas Haynesworth, yeah, he could. As long as he's healthy, you could throw him right in there, and he could put up good numbers. So there you go.
That's fair. My take, definitely Haynesworth, because let's be honest, he dominates a 4-3. He'd be awesome as far as a tackle. We have never had a good tackle in God knows how long.
Yeah, 20 years.
He'd be huge as far as our pass rush, which is definitely needs help. He'd be motivated to get a new contract because this is his only chance to actually behave himself. Otherwise, he'll never get paid again. So between that fact that he'd be on a one-year deal no matter who he signs with, he's going to be motivated to sign another big money deal. He would be a lot of help. Plaxico, I definitely see your point. However, Vic's game, Plaxico's game isn't as based on speed and quickness as Vic, and that's what took him so long.
Mm-hmm.
He was never like the fastest guy. So I wouldn't mind them signing Plaxico. He could help us in the red zone, like a fade. Like, how can you not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if Vic has the touch on that. And you know what? If it takes a year, it takes a year. What have we lost? You know what I mean?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you can get him cheap.
But I mean, okay. Definitely, I'd take Haynesworth first. Yeah, cheap too. I mean, I wouldn't pay a lot of money for him because you can't count on him. But I say, why not? Sign them both. I say you can always cut them.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Neither of those guys are going to get like guaranteed money.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Maybe Haynesworth a little bit, but just a signing bonus, not like a guaranteed money over years kind of a thing. So,
right.
I say, why the heck not? Usually, guys, like anytime somebody like smokes weed and falls on the draft board, it's always like ends up being a great pick.
Exactly, for like a stupid like, little. Yeah, you're right.
Only draft pothead rule, like you know what I mean? Because like Randy Moss was the 18th pick because he smoked weed. It's like really? Because
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
And he should have been like the number one pick or number two.
Could have been in the easy top five.
Anybody that slides 15 for a stupid reason like that. I'm always going to take them because you end up with better players.
Yeah, the defensive end from Florida that happened to this past year, he dropped big time because they said he had quote-unquote character issues. They didn't say what they were.
You know what? It's sometimes going to backfire on you, but, man, you know, those guys are at some point, you know what I mean? They're motivated. Their agent's like, look, you have to be smart and you'll make it millions and millions of dollars if you're not an idiot. You know what I mean? And most of them, I mean, there's always – what was that running back from Nebraska? Lawrence Phillips. There's always going to be a Lawrence Phillips who's completely moronic and can't have his own way.
Yep.
But a lot of times they're smart enough to realize, you know what, if I'm not a complete dope, I'm going to make, you know, $50 million.
Yep.
So let me not be a dope for the next 7 years of my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It seems like it happens more in football where a guy will just drop than like in basketball or any other kind of sport. You know what
because
I mean?
Because football, they're so worried about, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just they have too much time on their hands for that draft, and
yeah,
they just get worried.
Because
so
Iverson went to prison for a little bit,
right?
And he was the number one pick. But in football, that just doesn't happen. Football, you're like they have any kind of character issues. They're like, no, we're not drafting you, and it's very odd. All right, sir. So before we get out of here, you got any shout outs to drop?
Nah, man. Whatever you got's cool.
All right, cool.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that cool. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the cool.
Well, I'm going to shout out a couple of our homeboys. One at Christian K West. Definitely check him out. A great Twitter to follow. Also, our boys over at Imaginary Players. They just started a podcast, so once I find out they're I guess it's still probably at imaginaryplayers.com, but definitely check them out. Of course, 7th and Patterson, doing a lot of big things, you know, on the Philly sports scene. Definitely the number 7th, number 7 and Patterson. Check them out. Also, one of my homeboys over at Rodimus Prime, he runs the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I believe you can just search iTunes for the Black Guy Tips. Also, two more. One of my favorite Twitter followers, Locktastic, LOCTASTIC, and we, the letter R, Magic, We Are Magic. Definitely check them out. But that's it. Looking forward to, the NBA and the NHL finals. We'll be back talking those.
Oh, I wanted to shout out my friend, XO, Christina XO on Twitter. She's like a really big Phillies fan. She like blogs for MLB Network or MLB.com. And she's awesome, so you should follow her.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good stuff. All right, sir, anything else you want to say, you know, thing we should?
What is it? Oh, we got Cliff Lee. What up?
That's right. We do have Cliff Lee.
That's sweet.
That's right. All right, gang. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/officialreview, twitter.com/officialreview, ponofficialreview.com, and lastly, pick up some shirts. There's a couple of new ones. It's officialreview.spreadshirt.com. Got a couple of dope new ones, including a Mayberry shirt, which is pretty dope. Looks like the BlackBerry logo. So check that out. All right, guys. We will see you next week. Peace. Take it easy. Peace.
Later.
Later.
Now your cleanup man just hit a single. There's a look of surprise on your face. But the guy that was standing on second, well, he's foolishly rounding third base. Well, the guy in that field's got a cannon, and his throw is your runner by far. Since the result of your slide is not yours to decide, I don't care how disgusted you are. 'Cause I'm the umpire, what I say goes. There's a play at the plate, well, he's out by a nose. You can try as you might argue my call, but it's my world when I say play ball. Now you argued my calls in the second, and you argued my calls in the third. Now you're booing my calls in the seventh. This is getting a little absurd. Now your team, they're down by a dozen, yet you still say that I am to blame. Well, I'm sick of your whine and you're way out of line, so I'm tossing you out of this game. 'Cause I'm the umpire, what I say goes. There's a play at the plate, well, he's out by a nose. You can try as you might to argue my call, but it's my world. Say, yes, it's my world when I say, yes, it's our world when we say.